You are listening to Penny Impact Podcast by Ananya.
The COVID-19 pandemic has left a disastrous impact on economies worldwide. The microfinance sector was among the most affected sectors that are expecting a slow recovery from the coming years. The MFI institutions need to devise and implement strategies that can accelerate growth on multiple fronts, especially technology. But the question remains, how? So today on the Penny Impact Podcast, we have Grohl Michalsari, who is a highly experienced and innovative business leader with robust expertise in banking, retail, and financial digitalization, and has over 33 years of experience in the field. With a multinational experience of working with financial institutions in Europe and South Asia, his ideas on building a robust, sustainable growth accelerator for MFIs post-COVID is worth listening. So welcome on the podcast. So, first of all, we'd like to know what has been your experience with COVID-19 and, post-COVID in terms of microfinance as a sector.
Yeah, thank you, Avi. Thank you, Avi, too, for the opportunity to talk to you about that experience today. COVID-19 for us is, I think, the biggest experience now is on the delinquency part. So a lot of our client was not able to repay institution who had before maybe a collection efficiency from 99% or 1-2% par, 3% par in the worst case, was facing now 60-80% par in a month. And this makes people really nervous when they see the client are not paying, when you have a long time experience and good paying behavior, when you always train that the client have to pay well. That's the key message for your partners, lenders, clients. And now you're facing that situation. What will come after? I think that was a lot of manager was facing, and some of them, you see really the difference between the different companies was cool, and you need to be cool in that moment, because most important is not to overreact, really analyze the situation. And this was what we are, from Rocho side, also was doing with our partners, handholding, make sure that they start immediately the strong conversation with the clients and interact with the client in a very professional way, give them the signal, we are okay with that situation, we accept that, we are working together to improve this situation, we know that it's a special moment. I would say it's something like, in Philippines, I have the experience with a cyclone, and then a lot of MFIs don't know what to do after such a nature disaster. And for me, the pandemic is also a nature disaster. In reality, so very similar to that situation. But there you need then to restart immediately, working with the client, identifying where you can add fresh money, where you need to reschedule the repayment, that they come from self back to business, or that you need to consider, you need to act fast. Then you overcome that situation. That's very similar to the pandemic situation right now. That's what all of us have to do, and we are doing. Make sure that the interaction with the client is strong. We need to make sure as well that they're able to repay. We need to understand who was really affected heavily by that. And it makes no sense to maybe to push him or pull him too strong, I would say, to make the repayment when he's not able to repay. We don't want to take the client to a bad situation. I believe still that most of the client, they want to have a peaceful life, they want to repay, they are responsible, and therefore it's only a matter how we are handling the situation. I would say also what is new experience for us is we have now a restructured portfolio, because a lot of these clients was restructured. And this was also for our loan officer, very stressful situation when it was 500, 600 clients you have an average in your portfolio, and in the next moment, all of them are delinquent. You need to interact with all of them, and you need to find a way to restructure that. And then when you have it restructured, and then the client again fall back for a certain reason, then you need maybe to restructure again. That's something for a loan officer is unbelievable, when before it was a clear message, never restructure, never reschedule, never do that. And now he need to do it by himself. He need to work in this direction. I think to handling this restructuring fully is something new for all of us. And the experience now to become stronger and better in delinquency management is a clear output of that pandemic situation. And if you see the clear difference between the MFIs who not handling this professional and make out of that a process, a good monitored process, make sure that the people are monitored well to do the right things, identify people who are not understanding that procedures to help them to improve. I think a big challenge is as well the loan loss reserves. In a lot of countries, the regulation agreed, oh, you don't need to have any changes on the loan loss reserves. Also knowing that your client may be 30, 60, 90 days, 180 days delinquent. Usually by 90 days, you need to write off, you need to build a loan loss provision of 100%. Now you maybe stay by your 1%, by your 5%. So a lot of companies doing it in their very comfortable zone, but oversee that there is a moment where you need to step back. We faced this at a moment in Cambodia where we had maybe with some clients 2-3 restructurings. And now the central bank is saying, okay, make a stress test. If we change tomorrow back to the normal loan loss provision, how is your institution will be affected? And that became a shock in this country because everyone recognized now if I go back to the old system, the losses are huge. And maybe the profit is completely destroyed. So handling that now in a very positive way, I think this was from the country or from the central bank just a signal. But it drives the institution to step by step build loan loss provisions where it's needed and to get back the clients as well on the repayment side and make the restructuring really useful for the client. Second, I think what will help at the moment is that after the fourth wave, in a lot of countries, we have not the second wave, the third wave, and we have the fourth wave, people become more professional in that. And a lot of people can live now with the COVID situation. So a lot of countries cannot go back to a lockdown. It's not possible anymore. The economy cannot handle that. So we know that we have to live with this situation. It helps as well to plan more in the long-term view with that, with this portfolio situation, we say, or with the pandemic.
So what I understand from this particular idea is that there has been two different components, business centricity and client centricity. So there has been a juggle between these two post-COVID. Now, if I understand that most of these businesses are running out because, the post-COVID pandemic is not a very healthy proposition for the businesses. So what can be, a sustainable acceleration strategy that these MFIs can adopt at this moment that can, really help them power up their business and also, in the meantime, develop a client-centric proposition for all the clients?
Yeah, that sounds like the question, what was positive on COVID? I think there was nothing positive on COVID. To be very true, a lot of us lost friends. A lot of us lost family members. So it's really tough to find there something positive about COVID. But let's see what have really changed for a lot of people. It's really the situation that they recognized that the digitization, the contactless transaction becomes important. Okay. And they was forced to make digital payments which they never did before. So also a lot of MFIs came out of their comfort zone to push that, to drive that. And now they are facing the situation that before the COVID, we had maybe a digital payment of 5%, and now they're facing 95% is digital paid. So that's a huge jump. What it means as well is the client experience on that. They recognize, not handling cash saved me a lot of time. It makes me much more comfortable I trust now my wallet. I trust the system. Hey, it works. I can really pay digital my loan. I got used to that system and I see the positive upsides. So it's something like you walked before always to the school. Next day you drive a bicycle, you don't want to walk anymore, you use the bicycle. And then when the bus come, you learn first time to learn drive with the bus, with the school bus get offered, you will not walk anymore, you will not use the bicycle because when it's rain, the bus is comfortable. You know, so the same is with the repayments. The client feel that is a positive upside. I think that's for the client. I think the biggest change is really the digital repayment system becomes stronger in a lot of countries. People recognize that and see the positive upsides. The other part is really the digitization of the whole loan process. It become with the digitization of the payment, the other part of the digitization in the process becomes also more important. We have now loan officers who will not have using not anymore any paper. Everything is digital, from analyzing the business, making photos from the business, making photo from the client. So client need not to bring anymore any photo. You do a photo from him. You make a photo from the house, from the business. You can make it much more easier from the centralized decision. So what it means is maybe not before it was 2-3 weeks to get a loan decision. Now it can, you can do the same now in 30 minutes. Theoretically, you know, loan officer stays in front of the client, make a photo of the client, the business, put the numbers into the system. Someone reviews it immediately in the headquarters. See, that's possible. We have a good experience with the client and we can approve the loan. The client can get the loans that gets the approval, can sign the client on the DFA, on the loan loss, on the loan origination system, and the deal is done. The money gets transferred. So that's possible. And business is thinking in this way, which is good. So it will make us more efficient, the institution. And I hope that's the way we go in GOTCHO with our partners. It gives you more time to talk to the client, to have more time for human touch. So we will use the technology not to streamline the process and have just more loans possible per loan officer. No, we want to use this time we save to interact better with the client, get better understanding of his needs, get better understanding of his capacity. And this goes to another important impact of accelerate profitable growth and win situation on the client and the company side is you get a better understanding of the client needs. That way you spend more time with him. You understand better what is his current situation, and then you can give him out of your product basket a better professional for him develop product, you know, where he's really it's fixed the need of the client and match the need of the client. And that's more important. I think that's a positive way we want to go in GOTCHO with our partners and with Priyas, with Ananya, with a lot of other partners we have in our portfolio like Satya, Avion, and Loanframe, and in Myanmar, Sri Lanka, Cambodia. And now also we go in next step to Africa. And we also will want to bring this new way of doing microfinance business.
So considering digital payment as your, you know, a go-to sustainable accelerated growth strategy for MFIs, what can be, you know, a structure, or let's say, you know, if we have to visualize the steps, let's say I am an MFI and I want to implement the idea of digital payments, and I find that a lot of people are not actually, you know, susceptible to digital payments in country like India. So how do you, you know, build a strategy around it? What can be our steps to actually implement this particular accelerator strategy?
Yeah, I mean, in every country we have a different basement, we say, foundation. In India, it's fantastic, to be very honest. I'm impressed what India have done in the last 3 to 4 years with the switch payments and all of that, that you are, everyone have an account, theoretically. So that's in place. You have... there are people are registered, you get an e-signature from the client, you know. You don't have that in a lot of countries. So the basement is there. It's a fantastic base. So now it's, you need to look around, okay, which strategy you want to go. And for us was the human touch. I would say it's the hybrid, okay. It's digitization and investment in human touch. that's two. We search for the right system right now, and we have found a partner. We named Finflux in India. We found it for in Myanmar, for example, in Mosoni, where it allow us to digitize the full process. I would say a loop of 100%, mean the client have a client app. He apply for a loan via the app. The loan officer gets it to his DFA. He proceeds the loan via his tablet solution, which is a DFA. It goes to the centralized core banking system where the centralized people sitting are approving the loans back, and it goes to disbursement back to the client. It's 100% loop. This is, you find these companies now become more important as before. For 5 years ago, you had 100 vendors for that. Now the top ones come out. They are visible. You see they're operating in 70, 80, 100 countries, very successful. They have experience. And you go into the cloud-based way. I mean, cloud is key because cloud gives you the opportunity with the API catalog. You can interact with any other partner who is on that standard. And this standard, you see now the companies who is innovative and good for the client, they're having the standards. So you can now really make a cooperation with an agriculture company in a very smart way in a week, where you need before maybe a year of a project to find, get connected with their system, with their stuff. And now it's more the business people discuss how the process had to look like, and the tech guys interact, make sure that the process will fly. And that's now maybe a project of 4 weeks to get this done. So you see that good partnership, cloud-based solution is definitely the future. I see. Okay. There is a big discussion around blockchain, I know, and I know you are now a fan of it. And I see as well it plays a role, definitely. And we are at the moment exactly at the point, at the crossroad. Do we have a free market there, or is the countries try to block and try to control the blockchain, which will reduce the opportunity of blockchain? Okay. Or are the countries brave enough to let it fly? Let it, the market, let it win. Okay. I believe in the long run, it will win. The market will win. And the countries who are blocking that will lose because they are not any more innovative. They lose in that way. You can have a lot of examples for that. So I believe that the blockchain is the next discussion we will have, okay, for the future for sure. And I look forward for that.
True. So just to sum up the whole conversation, there were three takeaways. The first one, delinquency has been something that has come up in past couple of years, and to make your organization, your business more sustainable, and to also accelerate growth here, you might also want to focus on digital payments. So these institutions need to look out for options where they can digitize their payments, or maybe have digital payment as an important business component in their overall business. And to do so, they might look at, different aspects of 100% digitization or automation of their payments, or maybe creating the complete end-to-end loop for themselves, or maybe just, find out a simple digital payment circuit that they can implement and they can begin with. So what I understand from the whole conversation is that digital payment is the future, and cloud-based digital payment is the future of the future in the microfinance space. With that, I'd like to thank you for being here. Maybe we can have more such conversations on the podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you too, Avi.
You are listening to Penny Impact Podcast by Ananya. You can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Gaana, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Radio Public, and Anchor.